Welcome to the West Elk Word. I'm Tony Todd, here today with Mary Beth Kelly, co-founder of Gunnison Sanctuary Housing, a nonprofit dedicated to supporting folks struggling with substance use disorder by providing sober living environments to people in recovery. Mary Beth, welcome.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. I really appreciate you reaching out to us, Tony.
Well, let's start with an introduction to you. What is your background and how did you come to create this nonprofit?
Oh, gosh. My family and I first came to the Gunnison County area in 1970. My parents fell in love with it. We came back here every summer. They bought a piece of property up Ohio Creek in 73 and then built the first little cabin in 75. And we've been here as summer and then ski residents, second homeowners for all of that time. My son, Peyton, who many of you who have been here in Crested Butte for very long may have known him, he was a ski instructor from, I'm going to say 2016, 2017 winters, and then he also was a manager at the Majestic for a couple of years. He passed away in March of 2019, and my husband and I decided to make this our full-time residence. We had always wanted to do that, but after Peyton passed away, it was even more important to us. He was well known and pretty well loved in the community, and for us, it was just really healing to spend our lives where he spent the last few years of his life very happily, and hear stories, because almost everybody we know has a story about him if they were here in that time period.
Very good. So it's kind of always been a home to you.
Yes,
for sure. But even more so now, because it makes you feel close to your son.
Yep.
Why is a sober living environment after treatment so important for folks in recovery? We hear a lot about the treatment part.
Right.
We don't hear a lot about what happens after.
Right. I got involved in efforts here in the county around the prevention and treatment efforts, recovery efforts, particularly around opioid abuse, but here in Gunnison County, that's only part of the problem. And so I got involved in a coalition that worked on that across the whole north and south ends of the valley. And one of the gaps that was identified here, one of the things I noticed in my work with that organization, was there was no sober living opportunities here in the county. And for Peyton, because he had suffered from substance abuse in his teens into his early 20s, after he went to treatment, he credited having an opportunity to live in a sober living environment in Austin, Texas, where we were from, with being a key part of what made him successful. And it just, I felt like it was a real key missing ingredient here, and something that I felt called to do something about if I could.
Tell us about Oxford House.
Yeah. As I struggled with how could we do this here, part of the problem is economic, which we can talk about in a little bit. But the other problem was, you know, there are companies that do this professionally, you know, and do it well across the country. But it's a commercial endeavor for them, and they have expertise in that. I knew I did not, and I didn't want to develop it at my age and stage. So I struggled with, and I talked to several, you know, they weren't particularly interested in coming into this small of a community, this isolated of a community. And so that didn't look to be an option. A person that I work with in Gunnison County Health and Human Services mentioned Oxford House. I'd never heard of them. So I started looking into what they do. They're a nonprofit that's been in business for 50 years, a little more than 50 now, quite successfully. And theirs is a different model. They do not own any property. They only lease homes. They have over 3,600 homes across the United States, low relapse rates. And it's a different model. It's not a house manager model, which many of us who have, you know, had some brush with sober living or familiar with, there's somebody that's an employee of the company that lives in the house and, you know, make sure everyone there is doing the things they need to do. In this case, it's a democratically run home. So an Oxford House outreach worker is what they call them, will establish the home, comes live there for a few weeks to months, and make sure that the initial residents understand what it is that's expected of them, how they'll qualify for an Oxford House charter, and then what rules they're compelled to comply with and which ones the house can decide. They elect a president, they elect a treasurer, you know, they learn those type of leadership skills and learn to be financially self-sufficient, hold each other accountable. And it builds a camaraderie in the home of people that are working together for a common goal that each of them want to achieve.
That's kind of an amazing structure.
It is. I was very skeptical, I'll have to say, but I read quite a bit about them before I even reached out to them the first time. And they were very eager to partner with us in Gunnison here. And it's been a great partnership.
When a new person comes into the house, does that person come back and reorient that person, or does the household as it exists?
Yeah, the applicant fills out an application. The house members that are there review the application, interview the applicant, ask them the hard questions, and decide democratically whether that's somebody they want to support in their recovery by inviting them into the house or not. And there's kind of three inviolable rules for anybody that lives in an Oxford house. One is the house has to be democratically run. Second of all, they have to be financially self-sufficient as a house. They pay one rent. I mean, they collectively, no matter whether it's four, it's six, or 10 people, they pay the rent together, divide it up, and, you know, pay their portion of it. So they have to be financially self-sufficient. And then if they relapse, they're expelled from the house. They can reapply in 30 days, but they have to be, you know, I'm not saying they're going to throw them out in the cold if it's 21 degrees below zero, but they need to leave the house within 24 hours, and they will help them find what's their temporary situation and hope, and ideally help them get back into treatment or get back on into active recovery. And so they can either move somewhere else and continue their recovery path elsewhere, or potentially even reapply for membership in the house.
When you say they pay rent, are they then paying rent to you?
The nonprofit charges a single rent for the whole house. And regardless of how many people are in that house, it's chartered for a certain number from Oxford House. So it can have up to that many, but it can be, you know, they can be under occupied, so to speak, and they still owe the same amount of rent.
So Gunnison Sanctuary Housing owns the home. Oxford House kind of just gets things rolling. And then the household occupants really run the show for themselves in a democratic way.
Yeah, I mean, Oxford House does provide oversight. They're required to attend a chapter meeting, the house is. The Oxford House worker responsible for the region or the chapter will visit each house in the chapter over, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 months, depending on how big the region is or the chapter is. So it's not like they're, you know, okay, you guys.
On your own.
On your own.
Good luck.
Please don't break any rules. No, they do oversee them, but it's not somebody in the house. It's done through meetings and through an occasional visit.
It's a kind of an honor system.
Yeah.
System.
Yeah. But, you know, I will tell you that people in recovery, first of all, they're quicker to spot problems than I am. I can tell you from experience. And they're quick to hold each other accountable, you know, because it's, you know, one person can risk everybody if they're not doing things the way that supports the whole house.
Yeah. Mary Beth, I've heard professionals in the field of human services locally refer to communities here in the Gunnison Valley, but especially Crested Butte, as substance tolerant. And I think those of us who know this community know what that means.
Yeah.
That's one of the driving forces behind this effort, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the statistics compared to the state average, for example, Gunnison County, and I won't separate now yet between the two cities, Gunnison County has a higher, more educated, but lower average income. you know, higher poverty levels, more food insecurity, the seasonal aspect of income production here at both ends of the valley makes it very difficult, not to mention the skyrocketing costs of real estate and homes here has really become increasingly untenable. All of those things put stressors on people, and, you know, substances are one way to self-medicate for that. It is not unusual for ski areas, outdoor-focused rural areas across the West, not just Gunnison County, we see this across the West, to have very high adrenaline cultures, and that tends to drive a high level of substance abuse. And we see that in Crested Butte. It's statistically a little different. Alcohol abuse is pretty rampant across the entire valley, statistically higher, maybe. What I have in my head, I think we're about 10% higher than the state average across the whole valley.
That's so significant.
Yes, it is significant. Adult binge drinking rates higher, 10 to 15%. The number of 18 to 34-year-olds that abuse substances, alcohol abuse 10 to 20% of the population in the county. Other substance abuse could be with alcohol or alone. Other substance abuse is 5 to 15%. So you add those numbers together, and we're looking at upper 20s to 30% of the entire population has a substance abuse problem, either alcohol and other drugs or just alcohol.
And that's just based on survey results?
Mm-hmm. Local surveys.
People being honest about it.
Yeah.
So that could actually be low.
It's not just surveys. It's also statistics in the hospital, you know, other sources of ER data.
People coming in with toxicity or overdoses, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Yeah.
So you kind of put all those things together to come up with a stat, those kind of stats. But Crested Butte in particular, let me talk about it a little bit. Think about, what do we have to do here in the evenings to entertain ourselves in a group setting that does not include alcohol, or doesn't have alcohol present? It's bars and restaurants. Even the Majestic, who I love dearly, as Peyton did, they serve alcohol there. They also serve, you know, we're seeing more mocktail, you know, menus, which I love, but there's a lot of alcohol use in Crested Butte. And that's true in Gunnison too, but there's at least a few more things to do in the evenings in Gunnison than there is in Crested Butte. And in here, it is a little interesting because the opioid use tends to be a little higher statistically at the south end of the valley. And here it's more amphetamines, whether it's cocaine, you know, again, that high adrenaline sort of culture. So it's a little bit different, but you see those kinds of substances used at both ends of the valleys.
Yeah, high adrenaline, high risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And that personal risk can come in many forms. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see. If you are just joining us here today on the West Elk Word, I'm Tony Todd, here with Mary Beth Kelly of Gunnison Sanctuary Housing, an organization dedicated to providing safe, sober living environments for individuals recovering from substance use disorder. Well, you mentioned the real estate situation and how difficult it is to find a house. I'm curious how you managed to do that.
So the only way I could figure out to do it, and having been, you know, familiarized myself with Oxford House and what their model was, I'm like, okay, then what we've got to do is raise enough capital to put enough down on a home. And they, you know, had told me what they would look for to lease, at least 4 bedrooms, at least 2 baths, at least 2,000 square feet in a residential neighborhood. So, you know, I knew what to look for, looked at the market, so I kind of knew what we were in for, think 600,000 and above. to put enough capital together that we could get a mortgage such that the mortgage payment would fit within what Oxford House told me was affordable for the number of people that would fit in a home like that. So coincidentally, when Scott and I moved, my husband and I made the move permanently full-time to the Valley, we joined a church in Gunnison, Bethany, and they were very healthy financially. It was almost like, wow, they have a big reserve. They've been blessed with that. They know that money is meant for something. It's not meant to make the church comfortable. It's meant to be used in some way. And I went, I know. I got an idea. So I talked with one of the elders who was, I felt like, probably similarly minded in terms of what problems do we want to try to help with in the Valley. And he, interestingly enough, had started to form this nonprofit to address transitional and crisis housing. And I said, how do you feel about providing sober living? And he was on board for that. So we kind of joined forces and thought we ought to be able to do this. There's enough money in this Valley and enough people who understand the impact of this in families that, you know, if you talk to the right people, they will help. So we started with Bethany, got their support. This was about 2 years ago, summer of 23, that we actually started asking for money and, you know, wrote a predecessor document to this one that I have on the desk here that was about sober living in general. This one has been tuned to solving the same problem for women with children that we had for men, or providing a solution. So anyway, it took us several months to get what we thought was enough money, and a house came on the market in Gunnison that was actually much lower than what we thought we were going to have to spend on one. It needed some work, but the family who had lived there really wanted us to have it, and so we were able to get that house, get it opened for men in January of 24. As we went through the year, we were making improvements to it and increasing the capacity and making it more comfortable, and because it was a well-loved home. Then just a chance meeting last fall through a mutual friend, met a couple that weren't even connected to this community at all. They were vacationing in Crested Butte, had never vacationed here before, but we had this mutual friend. We went to a restaurant to dinner together, got talking about our children and, you know, struggles with our children. And our friend asked us to tell this other couple about what happened with our son. So we did. And he said, I'm going to help you. I don't know how I'm going to help you, but I'm going to help you. And that started about a 6-week conversation between he and I. And every conversation he says, I'm going to help you. I'm just trying to figure out how I want to do it. You know, do I want to set up an annuity fund, you know, that gives you money every year, one lump sum? I'm like, you know, whatever you do, it'll be a blessing to us and we'll use it well, you know. And I guess it was middle of October, and he asked me, what's the loan amount on that house? And I thought he was asking me a financial stability question. I mean, if I were gonna fund a relatively new nonprofit that, you know, had only really been in business as far as, you know, income and expenses for 8 months, I'd want to know what kind of debt load they carried. So I told him, and he said, well, I'm going to send you a check for that. And he paid off that home last October, which was stunning. And I would say that's a God thing, but, you know, I know other people can, I don't care if you call it the universe, whatever. To me, it's a God thing. And that allowed us to all of a sudden say, okay, now we're going to tackle a women's home, because I don't think I would have been brave enough to put our little young nonprofit into close to $1 million worth of debt. I would have had a hard time feeling like we were being responsible to do that, to take on two at once. Now it's like all bets off, right? Like full bore ahead. I really thought this year it would take us till the end of the year, because I knew we would need more money than we had the first time, because I've never seen another house on the market as cheap as we bought that one that would suit. So we thought we would need about $250,000 this time around. And then We got two big grants, both six figures, out of the opioid settlement money that the state of Colorado is distributing to be spent in communities to solve problems like this. And so we asked for it. We got both of them. And all of a sudden, we had $250,000.
Wow.
So I'm like, well, there's this house that I've been looking at. I learned the first time, don't go look until you're ready. But I knew it was there. And I said, I'd like to go look at that one. Got our board's approval to go look at it. And that was Tuesday. On Thursday, we had a contract on it. So that was in early June. And so we closed on it end of July. And we'll open it for women and children September 1st.
Wow, that's fast.
Yeah, very fast.
I take it that one needs a little bit less work.
Oh, it was in much better shape. Mm-hmm. It still needed some things like egress windows, you know. And it's only five bedrooms instead of, we built the other one. It had four when we bought it. We put in two more because it was a big unfinished basement. This one, the basement's finished, has two big bedrooms downstairs, which is great because those rooms are big enough to have a mom and, you know, one or two kids in.
Do you have people lined up to move in already?
Well, I don't control that. Oxford House does.
Gotcha.
But yes, we've had a lot of inquiries. And I know that the young lady that is the Oxford House outreach worker that will be the first in the house and set this one up, like we were blessed to have a gentleman do for us, who stayed in the county, by the way. He doesn't work for Oxford House anymore, but he wasn't leaving. He works for the hospital.
That happens here.
Yeah. Well, he'd been here before, so he knew he wanted to live here. And interestingly, he's got a fascinating story. He lived here the winters of, I think it was 2017 and 18. And he lived in his car at the trailhead on Kebler Pass, where all the snowmobiles take off from. He lived there in his car for two winters. And he would hike every morning to the top of Red Lady and ski down. And he was sober. That's the crazy thing about when he lived here.
Yeah, he sounds like the right kind of guy to live here. He fit right in.
Yeah, he wasn't sober after that, but he remembers the area fondly and couldn't wait to move back. And so he had been successful in his recovery with Oxford House. And so we're very fortunate to have him stay in the community. Anyway, Laura will be the Oxford House worker staying in the women's house, and she's already talking to people. So yes, if anybody knows of somebody or would like to apply themselves, if you go to oxfordvacancies.com, their normal website is oxfordhouse.org, but oxfordvacancies.com is where their apps are. I think she would tell you don't search on Gunnison yet because the women's house is not going to pop up as an option. But if you just don't put in a location and just start filling out the application, it'll ask you for a location. If you put Gunnison in there, it'll go directly to her. So, and she is talking to people that are applying or just that contact her.
How can folks in the community help you out, Marybeth?
They always do. I mean, this house is almost entirely furnished and probably will have a few extra pieces that I end up having to give away to somebody else. But anytime we've needed anything for either of these homes, all I have to do is put something out on Marketplace, on the, CB Community Forum, Gunnison Humanity Posse Forum, all of those places, I put out a request, and it's usually hours when I get more than we asked for, including art. The guy's house has better art than I do in my home. And I, just before I met with you, I was meeting with a couple of artists here in town that wanted to donate art for us.
So nice.
Yes, just incredible community support. So, but that's where I make requests. When we get the furniture settled, I know already there's a couple of pieces we're going to be missing, and I'll be putting another post out there. I'm not greedy. It's just that some things don't fit when you get them in there, and I need something smaller or bigger or whatever. But we're down to a handful of things that we need to furnish this house. We're always interested in having people volunteer. We just built a storage building in the backyard of the men's house because we took up half their garage to expand their kitchen, which was really small. And so they needed more storage. We built a storage building with money that people had donated to us. So if you donate money to us, it will be well used. I don't pay for anything. I don't have to. But I couldn't find a storage building donated, so I did have to pay for that. But we built it with volunteer labor. probably will schedule a painting party in September for some trim at the men's house and to paint that storage building. I have told Oxford House that when we fill up the women's house and they could use another bedroom, I'll go find money to add another bedroom and bathroom in the garage. So we always could use more money. And, you know, if somebody else wants to pay off this house, that'd be awesome too. And we'll work on another one. Not expecting to find that kind of angel, but they're out there, obviously.
So if that angel wants to contribute, it's Gunnison Sanctuary Housing, mm-hmm. and you can find them easily online.
Yeah, two ways. One, we have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And the other place that we don't have our own website, so it's Facebook. But as far as donation goes, the most cost-effective for us is using ColoradoGives.org. Mm-hmm. And so if you go look for Gunnison Sanctuary Housing on ColoradoGives.org, you'll find us.
That's where I found you.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Good. I'm not too hard to find, Tony. I make myself pretty easy to find. I try to.
I'm grateful for that. Mary Beth Kelly from Gunnison Sanctuary Housing, thank you so much for joining me today on the West Elk Word.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. I was going to reach out to you guys anyway in August and say I'd like to talk about this so people know we have a home for women and children now.
It's kind of an awesome thing you guys are doing.
Thank you.
That's it for this edition of the West Elk Word. You can listen to this and any previous edition of the show at kbut.org. Just click Programs, then West Elk Word. Thanks for listening today. See you next time. Support for KBUT and the West Elk Word comes from Towny Books and Rumors Coffee and Tea House, serving locally roasted coffee and fine loose leaf teas. Towny Books stocks new books for children and adults and can special order anything. Read books, drink coffee, fight evil.